My name is Paul Bull. We've been discussing for the last week and a half here the theme aging and changing under a whole variety of different themes and points of view. This week we talked about the changes in the world around us and how we who are older people make adjustments to the changing world, the changing techniques, the changing value systems, and the like. Then yesterday we talked at some length about the fact that there are lots more of us now, people who are over 65 or 70, and that has many implications for not only ourselves and other older people, but it has implications for our country and for our church. And there's a lot more that could be said on that, but I think that'll be sufficient for today. Today the theme is, who's aging? Who is it that's aging? And I just indicated to you that I have had some intimations of aging, but I'm not sure that I'm really getting there yet. Carola, my wife, and I live in a small town. No, we don't live in a small town. We live 7 miles from a small town in northern Wisconsin. We live out in the woods. And this town of 2,500 people, Amory, Wisconsin, has two groups of elderly people who meet quite regularly. By the way, right now, while we're gone, the executive committee of each one are meeting to try to find a way of joining the two groups. Somehow they think that two groups of elderly in this town of 2,500 is too many. And I guess I agree with that. But anyway, we went to one of them where they had a dinner in the basement of the church. Then they had a little program in which we were singing, Down by the Old Mill Stream, and Let Me Call You Sweetheart, and all the old songs. We had a rather peppy organist. We had to use the organ because the church didn't have a piano there, but we used the organ. But we had a peppy organist, and she was playing, Down by the Old Mill Stream, da-da-da-da-da. And then one of the chairman of the group jumped up, and he came running up in front, and he told her, stop, and he said, don't play so fast, he said. Don't you realize we're a bunch of old people, and we can't sing that fast? And Carol and I looked at each other. This is the first time we had been at this meeting, and I said, let's go. And she said, no, you can't leave. But I felt like leaving, because here was this guy up there in front saying, oh, we're just a bunch of old people and we can't sing that fast and, play it. So she started to play, Down by the Old Mills. And he nodded his head. It got to be a pretty dreary kind of sing. And I thought to myself, wow, maybe I'm not getting very old. Because I didn't go along with that kind of thing. Carola and I were asked by the Division of Service and Mission of the American Lutheran Church to do some inquiries into the area of aging. They call them probers. They're probers. I've mentioned this, so some of you have heard this before. But probers are people who are. The American Lutheran Church is called, there are people who are asked to probe into various aspects of life, youth or aging or people who are in prison or people who live in communities like Holden and all kinds of things. And when they asked us to look into aging and how the church can more effectively serve and minister among aging people, it was the first time I had really thought about the fact. I wondered, why did they ask me to do it? And then I realized that somebody over there thought I might know something about aging because I was aging myself. And I got to thinking more and more about aging. Okay, what is aging and who is getting old? What is it? Who's getting old? I'd like to make some comments on this, and then I'd like to open it up for discussion because I think all of us are experienced, not all of us, I think there are some younger people here, and I don't want to exclude them, but everybody, whether they're young or old, has to think about aging because it's part of life's process. Okay, I'd like to ask three questions. Is aging chronological? In other words, it's been customary in our country, not legal anymore, but customary for our society to think of people retiring at age 65. In other words, our society generally has thought that you begin to get pretty old at age 65, too old to work. So companies, Social Security, etc., are fixed to the age 65. Now the laws were changed recently, so people can't be forced to retire at 65. But that age 65 certainly hangs there as one indicator of aging. Second indicator is what I would call a physiological indicator. As we get older, certain physiological changes take place. I think most people who come to Holden during September would recognize just by looking around that the people who come to Holden Village in September tend to be older people. A lot of us have got gray or white hair. Many of us don't walk as fast as we used to. We are careful when we go on all these stony roads and up the hills and so on. And certainly there are some physiological evidences. Some of us have a few wrinkles. We have a little less strength. We're inclined to talk about our ailments a little bit with one another. And so on, which has some physiological aspects to it. So aging certainly has some physiological aspect. And then the third question, is it a state of mind? Is aging a state of mind? Is it part of our attitudes towards ourselves? I think this fellow who got up in front at the church and told the organist to slow down, it said something about his attitude toward himself. It didn't say much about my attitude toward myself, but it certainly said something about his attitude toward himself. Or it may have to do with our attitudes toward other people. Whom do we like to associate with? Who stimulates us? And so on. What is our attitude toward other people? And our attitude toward the world. How do we like the world? How do we adjust to the world? We talked on Monday about a rapidly changing world, sometimes very bewildering, especially for those of us who have grown up with certain values, certain skills, certain points of view about a great many things. What evidences are there of aging that go along with our attitudes toward the world? How do we adjust to new conditions, and new ways, new techniques, new values? Those are some of the things that we have to consider as we talk about who is aging. What scale do you judge aging by? Do you judge it by age 65 or 70 or 60 or what have you? Do you judge it by physiological evidence? You say because a person looks a certain way, that person is old, and because another person looks a certain way, that person is young. Or do we judge it by attitudes, or what do we judge aging by? I read a book recently. I did do some preparation for this this series of discussions. I read a book recently by a man by the name of Bianchi, who I presume is an expert on aging because it was a book on aging. Oh, by the way, the name of the book was Why Survive? Why Survive? Big, thick book. And it's a very, very gloomy book in many ways because he talks about the conditions under which we'd grow old in our time. And he didn't think that this was a good time to grow old. He felt the world was getting away from older people, and that we were more and more being segregated and depersonalized. I didn't really agree with all what he said. But if you find that book, it's in your library, I'm sure, called Why Survive by Bianchi. It's in one attitude. But he had a diagram in his book, and it went like this. This is birth here, and middle age, and death. Now he kind of diagrammed life. You're born, youth is a time of ascendancy, going up, middle age is leveling off a little bit, and so on, and then in old age it's declined until death. How do you react to that diagram of old age? How do you react to that?
Too negative. I think it ought to go up.
Pardon?
I think it ought to go up.
It ought to go all the way up. You'd have liked to have seen it go birth and kind of like this, and then death over here. Okay, all right.
I like to say adjust and be happy.
Adjust and be happy. Okay, well, you can adjust to this. So, you know, we can adjust to being young, and then we all did, obviously, since we're still here. We can adjust to this, and yeah, we can. Okay, that's one point of view. Adjust.
We aren't aging; we're maturing.
Correct. Maturing. You consider maturing to be an upward thing. Okay. Anybody see anything wrong with this diagram? Does this create any problems for you? I see a woman nodding her head over there. Do you see anything wrong with it?
Yeah, I wouldn't go down. I think every stage of my life thus far has been exciting and good.
Okay, you go over this one. I didn't draw a real neat line there because obviously, does anybody else see anything wrong with this approach, this diagrammatic approach that starts up and then comes down?
It isn't until your children are grown that you have time to fulfill your own personal talents and abilities.
Okay.
Most of us enjoy the having children and seeing them develop and all of that. But then comes the time that if we don't find hobbies to fill in our time, we are going to feel sorry for ourselves. I know a lady who writes. She's almost 90 and still getting things published. I don't like to particularly get personal, but my husband took up oil painting when he was about retirement age. I took up writing. He's a beekeeper and continuing with that, though he's old enough now that he's keeping less hives than he did before. We both like to travel. When the time that I dread now is the time when we aren't going to be physically able to travel, and then we can only sit home. I wonder. I don't think we have to sit home and just look at our slides.
Why do you say only sit home? That sounds pretty dim.
What was that?
You said only sit home. That sounds pretty dim.
Because
now look, you're a writer. You can write at home, can't you?
That's exactly why I'm so happy that we chose the hobbies we did.
Okay.
Because we can keep on doing those particular hobbies as long as the heart ticks and the mind works, and as long as the hands can use the typewriter.
I was talking about old age being a physiological thing, and you were saying that the day may come when you can't travel, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're dead then, you know.
Well, when my mind gives out, that's what I'm dreading.
Well, yeah, all right. But by the time your mind is out, you probably won't notice it. That's probably the case. Okay, here's it.
I think that diagram is much too abrupt. I think that, yes, at 65, there's kind of a slowing down, as you well said. You don't, the state gets tougher, and people don't speak up like they used to, and do things like
that. What was that again?
But that's too abrupt to suit me. I don't want that drama off like that.
You'd like it more
gradual. What's the hurry?
Okay. Yeah, the lady.
Just the psychological looking at it, it just makes you feel, well, am I in this area?
All right. That's one good observation, that it's a depressing view of things.
Over the hill.
Yeah.
Over the hill. Well, that starts
exactly.
Third.
Yeah, say more.
It's all encompassing, and there are other pathways that we travel. Well, I'm just thinking one spiritually, for example. I'm sure that everyone in this room, especially, that path has probably gone like this and can continue so.
Okay.
And we're talking about mentality and knowledge and so on like that. So really, when you go ahead and do that, it's distorted because it encompasses everything. So you're going to have a number, just like a road map. You're going to have to go ahead and chart a number of roads or paths that we can go ahead and travel and indicate, hey, here's where we can continue to go up, 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 and here's where we might, and that might be the physical area.
Okay, very good. Now, I'll show you my erudition because I read another book. And this one was by a Swiss psychologist or psychiatrist, I believe, by the name of Paul Tournier, T-O-U-R-N-I-E-R. And he's written quite a number of books. He's a Christian, a committed Christian. Has had a whole lifetime of psychiatric treatment of people, and has written extensively. He, in the last chapter, his book is called Learn to Grow Old. Learn to Grow Old. And the last chapters deal with what this gentleman is saying, that the spiritual development in older people is a constant upward kind of thing. And that he admonishes older people to tend to their spiritual life, because that is one of the most refreshing and renewing kinds of things that can come to it, and can grow meaningfully despite physiological and chronological factors in life. Okay?
He also has a good book called The Seasons of Life.
Oh, I haven't read that one.
It's a good one. It talks about, you know, the springtime when you're young and growing, and then the summer when it's productive time and you're harvesting, and then fall is that time after retirement, and then winter comes, and that's death.
Okay.
What I hate to see is pushing older people into one bunch. I like to keep us mixed in with the young people.
Okay.
You know, so you get some little ginger in our lives.
You don't want to get trapped right along that line, in other words. That makes you upset.
That truly does.
Okay, very good. Well, let me tell you what I think is wrong with this diagram. I think that it gives a completely false impression of every age of life. Of youth and middle age and old age. I think this is a false impression. And if we base our attitudes on that kind of a line, then I think it's going to be a dismal time, not only for older people, but also for younger people. And if society uses that conceptualization, I don't mean just that diagram, but that conceptualization of in youth, everything is on the upward grade. In middle age, everything is leveled off, and in old age, it's all downhill. I think that affects everything. It affects our laws. It affects the attitudes that people have toward life. It affects the attitudes we have toward youth and old age and middle age. And I think that's a completely false point of view. And let me tell you why. But I'll call on this gentleman.
Circle like that would probably indicate the physical aspects of life only.
Do you really think so?
Well, more of that than anything else.
You think that's true?
I don't think that's true.
Because who says that life is all up for young people? You know, physiologically or any other way. I know many young people who have had serious problems, problems of depression, physiological problems, problems of finding out who they are, and some never do. Well, you go on and name it, and they're there. Who says that youth is all upward and upward moving? I have a son who is now 38 years old, but he's gone through, he's been at home quite a few times, but he's gone through just a, kind of a hell, really, because he's handicapped. And his youth was a struggle, a real difficult struggle. And he's approaching middle age now, and he still hasn't really dealt with all of the aspects of life. Who says youth is all upward? That's a false impression. And if we think that is the case, then we don't pay attention to the millions of young people in our society who are struggling with life and who are really sometimes on a downgrade rather than an upgrade. I talk to some of the young people who are working here at Holden, and some of them are struggling with their own lives. Certainly, they're not all on the upgrade. So it gives a false impression of youth. I think it gives a false impression of middle age, as though middle age were kind of a plateau, you know, and you kind of just go along there. No, that's not the case. You all know that. Your children are maturing and you're having a great time, even though they may have problems. Seeing them go through college and begin to make lives for themselves, you're getting some freedom to do some things for yourself in middle age. You begin to know who you are. You put a few of these things in youth behind you, and you begin to have some sense of where you're going and who you are in life, and so on and so on and so on. So to talk about that as a plateau, you know, leveling off and then kind of a little going down a little bit, yeah, it's not a clear picture. It's partly true, but it sure isn't entirely true. Let me just finish with it. Now, the picture is that old age is a time of decline. All right. Just what you people have already said, without me even eliciting anything, indicates that that just isn't true. That as you people and I are growing older, and I certainly want to include the young people in that too, this isn't all decline. Some of it's on up, as this person said. And if there is a decline, it may be pretty blame slow. And so I think it gives a false impression of the total spectrum of life. That this is all up, that this is all level, and this is all downhill. That's what really that diagram said. And I hate to see a prominent author like this, and that book is quite well known, say that that's the way life is. Because it has too many implications for too many things. Churches program their programming after their concepts of things. Governments tailor their operations after the way things are conceptualized. I don't think there would have been any programs of education for older people if this were the case. People would say, why bother? You know, it's a time of decline. Okay?
I still agree that mentally and spiritually you're going uphill. But physically, after center of life, you're on the downhill. You're not running as fast, you're not hearing as good or seeing as good. You're getting physically less able than you were on the upgrade.
All right, what you're saying is that this may be a fairly accurate picture of physical.
Right.
Of the physical aspect of life.
Right.
But not entirely true.
No, not well. There's always exceptions to any general rule, practically.
There are young people who are getting pretty old, or who are sick, or who are handicapped, or who are depressed, and so on and so on. Physically, I mean. And depression is a kind of a physiological thing, too. And so on And I think there are older people who aren't declining too awfully much. My wife and I are 70. That isn't really very awfully old, but at least it's approaching that. We live in northern Wisconsin. We have 9 months winter and 3 months poor skiing. But we go out skiing, cross-country skiing every day. We have three trails. One goes up through the hills and up into the farmer's fields where it's open, but it's hilly. Another one goes through the forest. We have a lot of forest around there, and it goes through the brush and through the forest. And the third one is an easy trail. It goes out on the lake and on the flat surface of the lake. But we go skiing almost every day when we're at home all winter. We heat our house with wood. I'm still using a chainsaw and cutting down trees and hauling them in, splitting them all by hand, hauling them in. I figure you handle each piece 7 times from the time you cut the tree down to hauling it in, to piling it up, to bringing it into the house, putting it in the furnace, hauling out the ashes, you know. And it's a quite a lot of work.
A lot of heat, too.
Yeah, right. All the way. Phew. I hiked up to Hart Lake twice last week, and my wife and I are going to do it again on Friday. And so, you know, we're not really decrepit yet. I'm sure a lot of you could say the same thing. That's not unique at all. So we have to be even careful about talking about decline physically.
I think it's the old sure enough principle.
Pardon?
I think it's the old sure enough principle. If you expect to be decrepit, you'll be decrepit. And okay. If you expect not to be, you won't.
Okay. Very good. Who else has a comment on that whole thing? Yes.
I don't really see anything wrong with it, because if you're realistic, that is the way it goes. And who's to say that 20 or 40 years ago was any better?
All right.
I think life gets better as it goes on, and it doesn't bother me
that
it's going that way.
No, you think that's a pretty good
argument? Yeah, I really do. It's realistic.
Okay.
But I wouldn't want to go back 20 years. I don't think that was as good.
Can we say, didn't somebody the other day talk about generally, what session was that in?
Proverbs and
parables. Proverbs, yeah. The Bible stuff. You talked about generally. I think generally that's true. You know, maybe in the if you average everybody out, that's true. But I still feel that it gives a false impression of the stations along the way. Somebody else had a hand up there.
Well, I was just going to say I liked your point of physical stimulation. Also important is the mental stimulation and good nutrition. All the things that hold and stress us here
okay.
That can really benefit life.
Very good.
I'm 77, and I wanted to know what the expression finding yourself means. Did I start pretty soon?
My wife and I talk about that every once in a while, because we're with young people a lot, and we have been for many years, and we watch a lot of young people struggling to find themselves. I don't know how many younger people are. You got any comments on that?
You are looking at me, aren't you?
Yeah.
You mean finding?
What does it mean? What do young people mean when they say they're trying to find themselves?
I have no idea.
You don't
know. You're younger than me.
Well, I think I know kind of what that means. Does anybody know what they think that means?
When they don't know what they're going to be.
Yeah, I think much of it has to do with their profession or career.
Okay.
They have a ride.
All right. I think it has more than that, though. I think it has to do with their sense of personhood. The who am I as a human being? What's the meaning of my life? I know I went through a period of time, mostly through college, I think, when I really was struggling with not just vocation, but kind of what kind of a person am I, and what kind of a person am I going to be? And I had some real conflicting feelings about that, not just conflicting about which courses I was going to take and what profession, but my values, my attitudes toward my friends, my attitudes toward women, and so on, and really, who was I? What made me act the way I acted? I think maybe, is that part of...
Yeah, I think that's part of it.
That's the way I felt, anyway. I think there's some older people, too, who kind of don't know who they are because of circumstances. I think there are people who... I've talked to a number of people, for instance, who have suddenly been severed from their profession. There was a person here last week who was really depressed over the fact that he had been, after 26 years, dismissed from his company. True, the company was trying to cut down on the number of employees it had because there were some economic problems. But the question is, why me? I've invested 26 years of my life here. I've neglected my family to give myself to the company. I've spent overtime, lots of times, taken my weekends and so on and so on. And now all of a sudden, they tell me to clear out my desk and they put me on pension and I'm out. And it was a terrible blow to himself, to his person, to his feeling of self-worth. He just kind of was saying, I must be no good because they don't want me anymore. And I think he was struggling with that identity problem. You know, who am I? All of a sudden, after 26 years of identifying himself with his job and getting his satisfactions and all of that out of his profession, suddenly they say, you're not worth keeping on anymore. That's the way he looked at it. And boy, does that make him feel, you know, who am I? And it's a hard thing to cope with. You can pat him on the back and say, oh, well, you know, it doesn't really solve the problem. Any other comments on that?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a comment. I think more young people should communicate with other senior citizens in helping them, because when you were mentioning about, the senior citizens are having a hard time and some of the others are having more difficult time. Well, way I put it in my way of things, but maybe you have a different way, but I can see the drawing on that part of it. But there's more to it on the other side. You know, I'm sure you see on the national news that they were having crisis of Social Security going broke. Okay, and I'm sure this was on 60 Minutes, I don't know. Well, anyway, there are some people that need it that have more physical and hard times, like disability, they need it. But there's other people that don't need it at all, that are getting things on a platter. And this, like, I'm talking about welfare. Mm-hmm. There's what, if we would only communicate together and talk these things over together with problems, because we know today the senior citizens have a very difficult problem, the handicapped, everybody. But if we work things out this way, because it says in the Bible that God sent his son to save the world, but man is kind of destroying things because we're not enough to communicate with each other and that. And
okay.
And really work these things out, and I'm sure we can. And the only way we can do it, if we just sit down with a group, like have a cup of coffee or whatever you want, and or talk to pastors or something like that. We can all work in each way, because everybody has a different system in different ways.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, now we started talking about who is aging, and we talked about chronological age, we talked about physiological age, we talked about age in terms of our attitudes and so on. I don't know whether we've come to any conclusion, but my point of view is that we begin to age very early in life. There are lots of indications that aging begins to take place pretty early in life. The physiologists and the psychologists indicate that in many ways people age very early. For example, sexually. Physiologists and medical people say that we begin to decline sexually before we're 20 years old. And that decline slowly goes on all the way through life. Now, you know, some of you may want to argue with that, but nonetheless, that's... By their 30s, a great many women are looking in the mirror to see, you know, whether there are any wrinkles showing up, and are taking massages and using cosmetics or one thing or another to try to deal with that. When I was 44, I went off to graduate school and I was scared stiff because it had been 20 years since I had been in the graduate school. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, how am I going to make it with all these bright young people around? And here I am, 44 years old, and I'm really, you know, kind of in that area, kind of going downhill a little bit. Not so. It turned out to be great, and I've talked to a number of other people who have gone on to school in their 40s, 50s, and later, and have just had a great time, stimulating time, a time of great learning, a time of almost a new way of life. I don't know. It's very hard to categorize all that. But I don't know that I can say who is old and who isn't. I really don't. Some of you remember Mr. Guldjorden, who was here last week with his wife. He is 91. She was 80-something. And he was up singing in front of the group and seemed to be able to get along just fine. When he left, he dressed up in a nifty outfit and looked really, really spiffy. And, I just thought, you know, who's old around here anyway? He's 91 years old. Yeah.
I think that one's attitude about it has a lot to do with whether they're going to get older or whether they're not.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't intend to get older.
Good for you. That's fine. I'll come and talk to you when you're walking with a cane and see how you feel about it then. But
you get older, but not old.
Get older. Okay.
People that have decided at 40 and 50 that, I can't do that anymore because now I'm too old.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And they are. The mind will dominate the body.
Okay. All right. Let's just say a few more things here, and then I've got some more notes, and you know, us speakers are compulsive about that. We have to get out all the wisdom that we've got here. I've got a few more notes. What can we do about it? The fact that aging is a reality, there's no question about that. It's a fact to be recognized, and obviously as we look around Holden, as I said, we can see it. Well, what are there, how can we deal with aging? Well, one thing is to recognize it. And I think as I listen to you people, most of us in this group are people who are willing to recognize the fact that aging is a reality. And even though you say you aren't going to get old, I'm sure you know that there are certain realities that are going to take place. Maybe you're one of these people who say, who deny aging, who don't want to talk about it, who don't want to think about it, who try to cover it up with cosmetics or frantic activities or what have you. I've seen older people who are on the run constantly because they just deny the fact that they're getting older. Or we can accept aging as a fact of life and live it to the best of our own ability and in terms of the life that we have lived, and go on with it. This Bianchi, who had that diagram there, has two ideas about he's got some fairly good advice. He says two things we need to do as we get older. One is to enter into a time of greater contemplation and reflection. He thinks that when we have been going through the stresses and the strifes of life, of getting a job, carrying out a career, making money, establishing ourselves, raising the children, etc., that we haven't had time to really reflect on the meaning of life, the meaning of our existence and our relationships with the world, and that one of the positive things about growing older, especially when we can begin to lay down a little bit of our competitiveness, a little bit of our involvement in our profession and our children are grown up, we can become more contemplative. We can reflect more on the meaning of life. And I think maybe that's what you meant back there about the growth of spirituality. That it is a time when we can begin to recognize the spiritual dimensions of life, when we have been freed somewhat from these competitive pushes that push us along through the era of middle age. But Bianchi is saying also that being reflective and contemplative does not necessarily mean that we withdraw ourselves. He talks about that older people need to engage themselves with the world. Engage themselves with the world. Now, he doesn't mean necessarily that we have to keep on working in our profession or that we have to be competitive. But what he's talking about is that this is a time when we can begin to experience new kinds of things in the world. For instance, a number of you in this past week and a half have talked about travel as being a wonderful kind of new experience that has brought all kinds of stuff. You've not only seen beautiful scenery, you have been around the world, many of you, or in different countries, and have learned something about people who are different, cultures, attitudes, and so on. You have met stimulating new people in your travels, and travel has become a tremendously invigorating and stimulating thing. Many of us have engaged in learning. How many of you have been at an elder hostel? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've been at a couple, three of them, and my wife and I are going to one again in a couple of weeks. Elder Hostel is a program all over the world that engages older people in a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks of study at a university or college at the level of college teaching, but without having to take examinations. Just for the sake of learning and growing. And it's just been a tremendously marvelous kind of experience. Who was the lady back here who said that she had taken up writing and her husband had taken up painting? Mm-hmm. But this is a lovely kind of thing, yeah.
I'd just like to say we never quit learning.
Well, a lot of people do, though.
I'm never satisfied with what I'm doing. I want to learn more and more and more. And it
okay.
doesn't have to stop at my age of 70.
Okay. Yeah, you don't have to. Right, we don't. And the more we have an open mind and want to learn, the less we age. Physiologically we may age, but as a person we don't. New relationships can take place. We have time for new relationships. I've visited with my friends more in the last 5 years than I have, you know, for almost the rest of my life, except when I was young, because I was too busy all the time, running all over doing my job. And now my friends and I have had a chance to sit and talk and exchange points of view and disagree with one another and try to work that out, and it's been a great thing. Spouses, new relationships between husband and wife, some good and some not so good. you know, there can be strains in older age too. But I think many of us find that as we grow older, we are able to form in with our spouses a new kind of relationship. I know this has happened with my wife and me. We're so much more together now than we ever were during the years that we both were working and very busy. We've found out a lot about each other. And most of it's pretty good. She even taught me how to cook, and I really learned how to cook now, and I do half the cooking. And it's really a great experience. Groups of people. We have time now to involve ourselves with groups. I told you about this group of older people that I got involved with. I don't know whether I'm going to go back or not, but maybe I will. Maybe I will. Well, I don't think I want to help them shape up, but I... this guy Bianchi ends up his book by saying, it's one of the primary tasks of us, all of us, as we grow older, is to rid ourselves of negative stereotypes that get attached to growing old in society. Negative stereotypes that we lay on ourselves, that society lays on us, like that diagram, and so on, and at least in our own minds and with each other to try to think positively about life rather than negatively, like I think you said.